Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the WIOK studios, the Jason Barsky Show.
Tom Borthwick, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
No, no problem. How's the baby doing?
He's doing quite well. 3 months old now. Thank you for asking.
No, no problem. I remember that was the first time we like kind of corresponded. You were like, well, I'd love to come on, but I'm about to have a baby. And I said, oh, really? When? And you're like, any minute now.
I was in the hospital with my wife.
Yeah. I always tell people in the first 6 months, here's what you got to do. Watch everything you want to watch on television now. See every movie you wish you had, you know, you want to catch up on now, because here's what happens. They start to move, and then they're like, oh, I want to watch this. And next thing you know, you lose control forever.
Yes, that's that. We actually have a 2-year-old as well, so
I know full well how
little time we have to do anything we want.
But that's not why we have you here. That's not why I asked you to come on today. You were quoted in, was it the Scranton Times, talking about this lawsuit that Scranton's not part of, and you want in, correct? Unless I misunderstood. There's a lot of moving parts to this. Can you explain to everyone what this lawsuit is and why it's important for Scranton?
Sure. So right off the bat, the state constitution guarantees everybody the right to an efficient education. And, you know, in order to do that, we need money to give that to the kids. So Scranton has been chronically underfunded by the state for years now. And about 3 years ago, Director Paul Duffy started trying to bring attention to this issue. And then even more recently, you saw that we were put in recovery, and now people are starting to pay attention even more. Previously, what was happening with Scranton was the district was borrowing its way out of debt. And obviously, that doesn't make any sense and doesn't work. And they were plugging the gap from the state with borrowed funds. Well, now the bill has come due, and we can't survive.
Just to kind of dumb this down, basically what Scranton was doing was they had a large amount of debt and they got another credit card out to pay off the debt.
Yes, exactly. And okay. So that helped, it held them together for a year here or a year there, but now there's no way that we can do that. And when you look at the numbers, here are the numbers, and they're crazy. New York gets from the state in basic ed funding, $9,000 per pupil, $9,000 a kid. Scranton, under the new budget, gets $4,600 per kid. So we are getting almost half of what York gets per child. So what they're saying about my two sons who are going to go to Scranton schools is that they're worth almost half of a child from York. And that's disgusting. So a couple districts started noticing that there was a massive funding disparity. One local district that's involved in that lawsuit is Wilkes-Barre. So I think it was 2014, Wilkes-Barre, along with another group of districts, they banded together and they sued the state and said, you're violating the Constitution. We deserve an education. In order to get it, you have to fund us appropriately. And so the state Supreme Court is set to hear this in summer of 2000. And we have a lawyer, Frank Tunis is his name, who said that, you know, he would work pro bono to get us joined in this lawsuit. And for me, there's no reason not to join this lawsuit, especially if it's not going to cost the district money. If we were to institute it ourselves and pay our solicitors, it would cost us money that we absolutely do not have. But if we had this opportunity to have a group of lawyers and districts who are doing this pro bono to get the district money, hey, I'm all for it. We deserve to be treated equally. It's simple as that.
What is, and again, there's so many moving parts here, and I know I've heard the explanation, and I'm sitting here just trying to rack my brain. What is the reason they give, the official reason why Scranton gets $4,600 and York gets $9,000?
So a couple of years ago, I think it was maybe 2016, the state passed a fair funding law, but it had this weird quirk where it said that only new money will be fairly funded. So this is bizarre, and Harrisburg works this way. So for us to actually, with all new money, be equal with other districts, it's going to take 19 years under the formula that they passed. Wow. So what happened was, years ago, Scranton was already behind. And because it's taking, it's so incremental, these fair funding increases, that we're not actually catching up to anybody. It would take almost two decades. So those districts that were already doing well, the Yorks, especially, like, you know, like Lancaster, Reading, districts that are funded better than us, they didn't have to worry. And then this law locked in our old funding, which was already low. The thing that's crazy and amazing to me is that Scranton has survived this long being this underfunded, because just the regular education, basic education funding, we're shorted almost $20 million a year, and it's been going on for years. The fact that we haven't collapsed yet is...
Well, that's because thankfully the residents of Scranton are so willing to let you raise, you know, let everyone raise taxes. I know. I saw that parade was the entire city on the street saying, no, 6%'s not enough. Make it go to 12.
Yeah.
I joke because I don't know what else to say in this situation.
I feel terrible for, I'm a property owner. I feel terrible for Scranton residents, because here's the thing. We have the number one local share of district revenue. What that means is Scrantonians pay more to their local districts than any other urban district resident pays into its local district. So 41% of Scranton's budget is local, as in city property taxes. But you look at York, it's like 22%. So we are paying way more as a percentage. So every time, basically, the state puts us in this position by underfunding us. And they're like, hey, I know that we're underfunding you, but what you need to do is tax your residents more. Yeah, and it's unfair.
When the taxes get put into the money that comes from the state, how much does that $4,600 jump up to? Does it just go to like paying off old debt and pensions and things like that?
So what happens when we get money locally? It goes into what's called the general fund, and it could go into anything. You know, that $4,600 that we're getting from the state, think of it as a big pool of money that we use to pay everything.
Right.
It's just that because we're so underfunded from the state, we need to get the pool larger so we tax our residents. And like I said, it's unfair because it's the state created the problem, and then they're saying Scranton taxpayers have to solve it.
Now, what do you say to this? I hate making this stuff political, but everything is political, especially in Scranton. I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah.
There's one person specifically just texted in that you're protecting the Democrats, that they're the ones that did this to the Scranton School District.
Okay, so what the person's probably referring to is past levels of corruption on the board. And we know from the prosecutions of Stansky and Greg Sunday, the former business manager, that the district has had its fair share of corruption issues. The problem is, when you're looking at, I think Greg Sunday paid, $8,000 in restitution? So his restitution for his malfeasance was $8,000. We're talking a $20 million shortage from the state. I want everyone who is corrupt to be gone. I want anyone who is making stupid decisions that cost the district money to be gone. But the number one issue is the fact that the state is shortchanging us. So it's not about protecting Democrats or anything like that. What it is about is making sure that the state gives us what they owe us. Like, we're not even asking for a handout. We're asking to be treated average. The average is $18.9 million that we're shorted. When they gave us a funding boost of $6 million this year, right? We're still dead last. So you're $6 million, but also you're still dead last. I mean, it's a slap in the face to the people of Scranton.
Yeah, tell me this. If this lawsuit, if Scranton becomes part of the lawsuit, and say the lawsuit is something Scranton is part of, and they win, you know, Scranton wins with everybody else, would you anticipate the state then having to not only bring Scranton up to the other level, or would you expect to have all that back money that was missed also just funneled into this, like funneled in right away?
I'm really glad that you said this, because this was a conversation I was just having yesterday with some fellow directors. It's not just enough, I think, to say, okay, we want to be equal from now on. I mean, the state has a history of underfunding us, and the state got us here. So absolutely I want retroactivity. The state should absolutely pay for what it's done to us. Because think about it. It's like Frank Tuna said at the meeting, when you close a school, you can't unring that bell. And I don't want to see school closures, but we're broke. And so it seems like an inevitability. But if the state were to give us the money that we deserve, then we wouldn't have to be talking about closing neighborhood schools or laying off teachers or cutting programs or raising taxes. If they gave us $20 million per year right now, we wouldn't even be in recovery.
Yeah. Someone else texted in, and this is actually a good question. I don't know the answer to as well. She noticed, I don't know a lot of answers, but I ask a lot of questions. Here we go. This is good. When you say, okay, York's gets, what, $9,000 per student from the state. Scranton gets $4,600. Obviously unfair. This person says, did he ever think that York maybe is getting way too much and Scranton is getting the right amount, like that the state didn't create the problem, that York is just asking for too much and they're getting it approved, if that makes any sense. Like maybe the real limit is $4,600 for everyone, but they're getting too much.
I understand. Well, first of all, the thing with York is they're not an outlier. They are the highest, but like, think about this. The two highest elected officials in the state, Governor Wolf and Auditor General Gene DePasquale, are both from York. So their district is number one funded. I don't think that's a coincidence. So that's number one. Number two, I don't think it's – so I'm a teacher by trade, and I believe in public education. I have a hard time thinking that there's such a thing as doing too much for a kid, educationally speaking. Like, and what's the correct dollar amount to have a perfectly balanced district? I can't give you that number. I can give you a number that's fair. I can give you a number that we can work with to accomplish goals that we want to accomplish. But, I mean, I can't speak to York. I know that they have, even with their $9,000 per kid, they still have financial problems, which is actually bizarre to me, because if we got $9,000 per kid, you know, half of our buildings would look like the Taj Mahal.
But, well, I think it's probably pretty easy to figure out why they would have – I didn't know they had financial problems, so it's probably pretty easy to figure out. When you have more, you spend more. People who don't know how to manage money, you can give them $50 million and they could lose it all versus someone who knows how to live for a year on $10,000, you know?
Yes, and you know, that's actually an argument that I get a lot when people are talking about, no, we shouldn't fight for fair funding. You know, and I can totally understand that because, hey, people don't trust the district right now. We have had God knows how many bad stories about mismanagement and corruption. And so people are skeptical, and they're right to be skeptical. But when you think about it, because the real center of this is our kids. And so they have nothing to do with Greg Sunday. They have nothing to do with the state choosing not to treat us correctly. So it's our job as for me as a board member and community member and parent to fight that fight for the next generation. That's actually what this is about. And yes, we need to put controls in place to make sure that money is not spent inappropriately. And the recovery plan actually does a lot of that. It's a 214-page monster of a document, and it lays out tons of guidelines to make simple changes to the Scranton School District to prevent this kind of financial mismanagement. I mean, there are some departments right now in the Scranton School District that have only paper records. I mean, the computer age started a while ago. Like, give me a break.
Well, yeah. Here's one last question. What is the so I want to make sure I understand all this, because again, there's so many different pieces.
And
there's so many pieces here. It's in 5 years. Scranton has 5 years to become like to balance everything and get everything back to where they should be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if they don't, the state is basically saying, what, we're taking over?
Yes. So a lot of people have been saying, vote for receivership, let the state take over. They created the problem, let them solve it. And while that argument has some merit, at the very least with the recovery plan, we maintain enough of a local voice and local control that we can do things here to maybe mitigate the pain. Because no one wants a 6.7% tax increase this year.
Right.
And so what we can do is we can maybe begin negotiating with the unions to bid out health care. Keep their health care the same, but get a different administrator that saves us some dollars. And then maybe the tax increase goes down. And maybe we find ways to make our buildings more efficient and energy savings. And boom, maybe the tax increase goes down. So there are things like that we could do that the state is not going to do. And the reason the state won't do that under receivership is a blunt force object. They'll just look at the dollars and say, okay, we're short $10 million. To get that, we need to raise taxes by 15%. And then that's what the state will do. They'll balance the budget. They'll slash buildings. They'll cut jobs. They'll increase class sizes because there's no nuance to it. And they don't care. They're not from here. They're not Scrantonians.
Is there anything to be said, though, about maybe looking at this and going, these people did all these things wrong. Laws were broken. People, you know, there's corruption that it's not your fault. It's not the student's fault. It's, we know where to point the blame in many cases, that maybe there's a way to come in, and I hate using the term bailout, but when you have so many screwed up people doing screwed up things for so many years and now everyone else is paying the price, maybe there's a way to help in a different way. I don't know. I can't imagine the state would come in and be like, oh, 15% income property tax increase. Is that something you really think that'll happen?
Well, so if we go into receivership, like I said, they don't have to. Harrisburg just went into receivership. They fired basically everyone. So school board's gone. Central administration's gone. They hired somebody outside who doesn't even live in Harrisburg, contribute, or isn't even part of Harrisburg to run the district. And it's a disaster. Everything is they're not paying their bills on time, even though the state is in charge. All of the contracts that they had are invalidated. And while that could be good in terms of renegotiation, I mean, think about that for workers who require a living. I mean, you can't treat people this way. And that's why I'm afraid of receivership. And the thing is, if you read the recovery plan, there's a lot of really good stuff in there. And it's stuff that the district should have been doing for years. So this, if we pass it, what happens then is we legally have to try to follow it. And okay. If we don't, then the state comes in. So, I mean,
I'm running out of time here. I was going to say, my suggestion is when I hear someone go, you know, if you don't get your crap together in 5 years, the state comes in. I always feel like maybe when things are as bad as they are and they seem like they're just bad, the state should come in now and go, look, we're going to help you get out of this. And to make sure that in 5 years you don't need us anymore. I know that sounds weird, but to do it reverse, it seems backward to be like, hey, you got 5 years to fix it, go. Because then the pressure's on, people are going to be making more bad decisions. I just want to see someone come in. I know that's not even an option, but this idea that in 5 years they're going to come in if things get messed up bothers me. I wish they would come in and say, hey, we want to help you now.
Yeah,
I know you probably disagree with that, but that's...
No. I want them to help us now. And in a way, they are, because the recovery plan is a state plan for us. And then us fighting for this fair funding that you've seen in the news. Like, we just had a big meeting on Monday. We're going to go down to Harrisburg, and we're going to demand that Harrisburg help us. So, you know, we have the boots on the ground to do it, and we certainly have the passion to do it. And maybe we can get Harrisburg to listen to us and treat us fairly. But they haven't treated us fairly thus far, and just handing it over to them and giving up all local say doesn't sound like the best idea to me.
It's one of the reasons that I don't know, and I got to really wrap this up, unless you're willing to hang on for a second, but let me just, we can wrap it up with this. Do you think it's sometimes like you don't want to give money to, and it's not, again, you just got into this, but you don't want to give money to a drug addict in your family because you know where that money's going to go. Does the state sometimes go, yeah, but we can give it to them, but look what they're going to do with it? Do you think history has hurt Scranton's ability to get more?
That's actually a really great analogy. So the recovery plan then would be rehab. So, yeah, you don't give them money, but you know what? You give them a plan to get better. That's what the recovery plan is.
Okay. And my last question, this was texted, and it's kind of interesting, too. I know you said York students get about 9,000. I'm sorry, York School District students get about 9,000 a year. Scranton gets 4,600, which is significantly less. What is the average, though, for the state, if you average everybody?
It's about 6,400 a kid.
So we're still be a little short there. Hey, Tom, I'm like three and a half minutes late for a break here. So before I get fired and I try to get a job that will eventually get replaced by a state worker from Harrisburg, school director Tom Borthwick, thanks for being on the show. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Yeah,
and we'll talk again soon. I appreciate the insight.
Absolutely. Thanks.
The Jason Barsky Show, WILK News Radio.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.